Welcome to Core 242 Podcast, brought to you by Core Community Covenant Church. Now let's dive into the Word of God with Pastor Max and Pastor Trish. Amen, amen. So we are blessed today as we take a little break from one sermon series to another. We just finished the seven letters to the churches of Revelation, and we're going to start next week with this, the attributes of God. And I know it's seven, but as we look into it, there's more. Mm-hmm. So we're probably going to limit at seven, but if God reveals more to them, especially in the beginning in Exodus and everything else, when they talk about those attributes, we'll see how it goes. But today we're blessed to have not a guest speaker because she's always here, but Oksana's going to be bringing the word today, and we're really excited about what's going to happen. So without any ado.
Well, I thank God that I had a choice on what I was going to speak on. So I decided to talk about miracles. And when I teach, I like to always have a disclaimer that when I teach, it's from the Word. But when I say I think or I believe or these are my thoughts, then those are the times that I didn't really back it with scripture, but this is what I feel God is showing me. That's clear. So what is a miracle? If we're going to talk about a miracle, we have to know what it is, right? So I looked up man's definition, and it says a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered a work of a divine agency. So actually, they got it right, except the divine agency is the Trinity. It's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's the difference between what we believe and what the world believes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. The natural man has experienced the works of God and miracles, but the natural man can't understand it because he doesn't have the spirit to have the understanding of what a true miracle is. And he doesn't always give credit to the Lord for that, but it's still a miracle. Examples are, very quickly, babies being born, the rising and setting of the sun, everything that's made is of God is a miracle. And in Romans 1:20, I like the amplified version of this, so I want to read it the way it says it because I really liked it. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, all his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense. So I was very surprised that there were only 30 references when I did a word search. I love studying with a word search. So I looked up the word miracle, and there were only 30 references. But what I was surprised to find was in those references, signs and wonders usually were attached when they mentioned miracles. So it was signs and wonders and miracles. And I said, why would the Lord put that in the word if it didn't mean something other than just the description of what a miracle is? So I looked a little further into it, but you know, and as I go through, you'll see what I mean. But the it is a description, and it is similar to signs and wonders are similar to what a miracle is. But today I want to concentrate on what a miracle is. At first, like I said, I thought they were descriptions, but they are slightly different in the fact that when there's a sign, God, for instance, when he told Moses to go talk to Pharaoh, he said, this is a sign that you are from me. And he said that your staff will when you throw it down, it'll be a snake. When you pick it up, it'll be a staff again. And so signs are things that God is proving himself, if you want to say it that way. Wonders are exactly what they are. It leaves someone wondering, how did that happen? How did that occur? But again, miracles is where I want to concentrate on. In John 9, the Bible talks about Jesus healing the man that was blind from birth. And his disciple asked, "Rabbi, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents?" And he said, "Neither was it his parents or him, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Mm-hmm. So God allows things to happen, and we don't usually associate, well, at least I didn't, miracles with severe pain or mm-hmm. tragedy, but mm-hmm. in order to have a miracle, you have to have the pain and the tragedy. Mm. Otherwise, the miracle isn't what it says it is. There are two distinct miracles that I believe here. I believe, as Christians, we all experience and share together in these miracles. The miracle of salvation, of course, and then there's what I call the personal lifelong miracle, the one that no one can take from you because it becomes very personal and God works in it and through you in a certain way that no one can take that away from you. But as you go through some tragedy or something that's very painful, he will be glorified. Mm. He will be glorified. Amen. The sad part is a lot of people get to that place, Christians even get to that place, who have the salvation, but when they experience this pain or tragedy, they walk away because they don't hold on to and wait for that miracle that God has. But he does have it, guaranteed. He promises it, okay? Mm-hmm. God will allow something to happen in your life, and then, or someone that you love, and you have to watch them suffer, which to me is the hardest thing, is to watch someone you love suffer. But he says, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" That's in Jeremiah 32:27. Nothing is too hard, and we don't always see God that way. So I ask, have you gotten your personal miracle yet in your life, or are you still waiting for your miracle? When you experience this personal miracle, there is no question that it's a miracle. He makes it very clear that he's the only one that can do the healing, the change, or the restoration in your life. And he wants it that way because he deserves the glory. He wants you to know it's him because he makes it personal. And thank God that he's still in the miracle working business, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes we have to get to that crossroads several times before we surrender to him and believe mm-hmm. That it can do the miracle. And that's where our faith gets stronger, of course, because we wait and wait and wait. Miracles are God's way also of giving us some history. When he works something out in our life, we won't second guess him when something else comes up in our life because we'll have that miracle in our pocket, okay? God reminds us of those past miracles. Before the miracles, there's a lot of hurt, mm-hmm. but afterwards our faith is stronger. In 1 Chronicles 6:12, it says, "Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's pronounced." And I love this because he says that this is why we have communion. Jesus said in Luke 22, "Do this in remembrance of me." Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that we would forget such a great miracle as the crucifixion and resurrection, but... Mm-hmm. The Lord knows that we are you know, like dumb like sheep, we forget things. And so we still do, we still have to remember. So that's why we take communion, to remember one of the greatest miracles ever.
Amen.
In Luke 10, Jesus sends out his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God, that it is at hand, and he empowers them to do signs and wonders. And later on in Luke, the Bible tells us that they come back and they marvel, even the spirits, you know, obey us. And they talk about all the signs and wonders that happen. And Jesus says to them, and this is a paraphrase, he probably says to them, well, did you tell them about the kingdom that's at hand? But they didn't understand everything because Jesus was still there. He didn't die and resurrect. But they walked with him long enough for years, and they heard him say about the kingdom and how he's going to prepare a place and all these things. And they were like, what place is he talking about? What's going on? And what he was talking about was salvation, and the disciples were more concerned about the miracles here on earth. So there's we reach out to God for those miracles that we're looking for here on earth, and we sometimes ourselves miss the miracle of salvation, that we're here only as sojourners and that we're going to be going to a place that he's prepared for us. So Jesus did not die and resurrect yet again. So they didn't have an understanding, a complete understanding of what salvation was. There was a time in my life where my husband left, my daughter died, and I lost my job within a short amount of years. And what I did was I said, you lousy devil, is that all you got? And I was able to say that because I had my personal lifelong miracle. And I knew that no matter what I'd gone through, he'd get me through it.
Wow.
And then my daughter, Pastor Trish, had ended up in intensive care. Mm. And I walked out of there in tears, realizing that the enemy is relentless and he's going to not stop until he destroys me. So even after all that, realizing that I'm under some severe attack, I spent a lot of time praying in regards to how I faced the enemy, and was sorry that I taunted him. And I won't go any further into that because I don't always understand what happened, but I do know that God had changed things around for me, got a good job, you know, grieved about Tammy, but Trish got better, and things did change around for me, and thank God for that. There have been countless miracles in my life, but I want to share my personal lifelong miracle. And I don't get an opportunity to do that very often. So I thank God for her, Terry Ann. My daughter, Terry Ann, was born. When she was born, I was a believer of Jesus because I was raised Catholic, but I wasn't walking the Christian walk. And when Terry Ann was born, she was born without a brain. She was born with only the parts that would keep her alive, which was the brainstem. She was what they call hydrocephalic. So when she was in my womb, the water came into the skull cavity and wasn't allowing the brain to grow. So she ended up not having a brain. She had the frontal lobe, which is the creative part, which is just the front part. And she got that for me, because I'm very creative. And the brainstem was the only thing that you need to stay alive, and that's what she had. They told me she would live 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years. This went on for 9 years. So a lot of things happened during that time. I grew as a Christian. We had ministry. I was the secretary to the pastor. God was doing wonderful things, but there was always this daughter of mine, Terri Ann, that was in a nursing home who needed 24/7 care that I watched suffer for many years. Mm-hmm. And miracles. I believed that God was going to heal her. No doubt. And I'm not talking about the kind of healing, you know, where someone goes home to be with the Lord and then she's totally restored. I just knew that he was going to heal her here on earth. And I believed and prayed. And there's those miracles where God just shows up. And then there's those miracles where you pray and you pray and you pray and you wait. And you just keep praying. This was one of those miracles. There was a time when Terri Ann climbed out of her crib and fell on her head, and she wasn't even supposed to have the capability of climbing out or doing anything like that because she was blind. She couldn't hear, and she couldn't walk. And yet Terri Ann touched more lives and did more in her lifetime than I could ever do in mine. She had an amazing fight for her life, and you could feel it when you held her, you were next to her, you knew she was fighting. Again, there was a time where she fell on her head. She climbed out of the crib, and the ambulance got to the hospital before I did, and when I got there, I told the nurses who I was, and they pointed me in the direction where she was. And when I walked into her room, all I could do was stand at the door in shock because she was totally naked with the sheet just slightly strewn over her. And they had tied her to the bed in a crucified position. And there was blood coming out of the hands where they were trying to draw blood. And there was blood on the sheets. And the nurse followed me in seconds later, and I said, "Why is she tied down?" And they said that they didn't have the staff to watch over her, so they did that for her protection. And I said, "Please untie her. I'm here now, and I'll watch her." I actually assisted in shaving her head sometimes, or the surgery she had, all the things that we went through with her for the 9 years, and I still believed that God was going to do a miracle. So she's 9 years old. I get a call that she got the chicken pox over the weekend. And she's, the doctor called me and she said, "But she's okay. You know, she's got a fever. You know, it's going around." And being in the nursing home, they get the communicable diseases. "I'm going to see her first thing Tuesday morning, unless things, you know, for some reason I get called in, but I'll let you know then how she is." Well, she got there and she said Terri Ann was covered in chicken pox. She said, there's not a place on her body. I've never seen anything like it. And I said, "Yep, my kids all did. They all got it in their ears and their eyes and their mouth. They just, that would make sense." And how's she doing? And she said, "She's okay, you know, for, but she said she has it so bad that I actually said, "God, you know, with all the things that she's got going on, why would you allow her to be so covered in chicken pox?" This is the doctor who was very controlled of her emotions, being that she had to care for all these children that were in the nursing home. This was Tuesday morning, not even 48 hours later on Thursday, I get a call that Terri Ann died. And the woman that was staying with us was a Christian also, and she said, "Oksana, I'll drive you to the home." And I said, "Oh, thank you, because I don't think I could drive." So I get there, and they have her in the room and give me my private time to say my last goodbye. So I get there, and it doesn't dawn on me yet, but I see the chicken pox, and she only has two, one on her cheek and one on her forehead. And I said, "Yeah, she had the chicken pox." And I go, "This is it. This is where God's going to do the miracle. He's going to raise her from the dead." Right? I'm in shock, you know, so I don't. So I put my body over her, and I pray that that the Lord would rise her from the dead. And nothing happened. So I go downstairs to the family room where I'm supposed to meet with them to finish off paperwork or whatever. And my Christian friend is with me, and I tell her what happened, and she's just listening. And all of a sudden, the doctor comes running around the corner and looking for me and saying, "It's a miracle. It's a miracle." And I'm like, I look at my friend Tony and I go, "Oh my God, could it be true, you know, that God raised her?" Because I was believing all along that she was going to be healed. So then the doctor explains to me how she was covered in chicken pox. There's no way that within 48 hours she could be healed of all her chicken pox. That the body doesn't regenerate. She started to explain to me how when you die, you don't, your skin does, I mean, just this whole, and all I could think of was, God did that for me. He made that miracle to show me that he could have healed her at any time. Mm-hmm. Any given moment, but that wasn't his plan. So the miracle of her healing is documented. Terri Ann probably had over or close to 500 people visit, I mean hours of just nurses and volunteers coming through to pay their last respects for her. And even in the casket, she still had the two spots, just the one on her cheek and the one on the forehead, to prove that she had the chicken pox. But I held on to that miracle, and I will till the end of my life. And I know that I know that I know that God is real, and he does miracles. And he does them for every Christian that waits on him and believes and prays. And that is what I call my lifelong miracle.
Thank you for spending time with us during this episode. We pray that this teaching blessed you and brought you closer to understanding God. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at corechurch242@gmail.com. Until next time, know you are loved and covered in prayer.